Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday episode of the Lineup Logic podcast, where we break down every slate in order to gain an edge on our competition. I'm your guest host, Roland Solo, Josh Fernandez. What's going on? I'm sitting in for Sean Kane. Glad to be here. So let's just dive right in. Just a quick note on yesterday's slate from Friday, February 3rd. Wow, guys, right? That's crazy stuff that happened there yesterday. The big story, rock the DFS world, led to thousands of us freaking out, man, on Twitter with our shocked and angry GIFs? I don't know. Quick digression. Is it GIF or JIF? I say GIF. You say JIF. I don't know what it is. I refuse to say GIF. I think it's stupid. So I'm going to say GIF. Anyways, Jimmy Butler's late scratch. Okay. That was pretty crazy. I fortunately dodged that bullet. I know that we recommended him on the pod, but I decided to pay down at small forward. Fortunately, I was one of the lucky ones. But just a few quick words on Jimmy's unexpected scratch. Okay. First, it's unclear exactly when this injury occurred. There were reports that he was wearing an ice pack around his right foot after Wednesday's game against the Thunder. So again, full disclosure, I had no idea that this took place. Sean and I recommended him on the Friday pod, recorded Thursday night. We had zero knowledge of any injury. Furthermore, there were many tens of thousands of DFSers who used him last night. You know, most of the 50-50s that I was in, and I was in many of them, they saw 30 to 40% ownership of Butler. The GPP I entered, 20 to 30% ownership. So among DFS players, you know, many of whom had that blue star next to their name, you know, a lot of veteran players keep their finger on the pulse of the news. You know, nobody knew. I'm not sure if anyone was aware of Butler's status. Now, there were people that were saying on Twitter that, you know, he was limping around at shoot around. But even Dwayne Wade acknowledged that some of his teammates didn't even know Butler wasn't playing until just before game time. I mean, his right-hand man, D. Wade, he said, I quote, "I knew because I was on Twitter before I came in here," Wade said. "I was getting my massage and I was reading Twitter and I saw media tweeting that Jimmy wasn't playing." Okay, so D. Wade didn't even know. A lot of the teammates didn't even know. You and I didn't know. Some of the experts in DFS, so-called experts, didn't even know. Okay, I can't confirm this. Some people on Twitter were saying there were media members tweeting Jimmy was limping around in shoot-arounds again. That took place before 7 p.m. Eastern time. Who these media members, I don't know. I didn't see any of those tweets. I follow a bunch of beat writers on Twitter. I didn't see it. I can't confirm whether or not that's true. All I know is this was a buzzsaw, and it killed a lot of people's chances of even cashing in a 50-50 by 7:01 Eastern time. So what to do? I'll give you two quick nuggets, and no, I'm not referring to Emmanuel Mudiay and Jamal Murray, guys. No? Not good? Okay, all right, fine. So look, number one. The Bulls and Rockets game tipped off at 8 Eastern time. News broke about Butler at 7:15-ish Eastern time. So technically this late scratch was 45 minutes before that 8 p.m. tip-off. But in theory, it was far too late because it impacted DFS players. But do we think that Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg give a shit about us? Of course not. It's crazy to even think they would, much less expect them to. You know, they're trying to win games. They're not worried about announcing his injury early enough. But on the injury itself, it was aggravated during shoot-around. So this was just pure bad luck, pure bad timing. Okay, this game has luck and timing involved. You all know this. There have been many times over the years where people simply are just burned by bad luck such as this. I mean, think back to this past football season when AJ Green hurt his knee in the first minutes of the game. You know, a lot of people used him in that game. I think it was against Pittsburgh. I could be wrong. I don't feel like going to look it up. But a lot of people used him in that game. And, you know, he gave them, I believe, 1 point at almost 9K salary. So luck is involved. You just have to, you know, live with it. It's easy for me to say because I didn't use him last night. But I've been burned many times myself, and that's just an element of the game. You know, you can just get screwed. So you just got to be prepared for anything, you know, mentally, especially, you know, you just have to expect that any slate is just going to burn you. All right. So the other nugget I have for you is not just advice. It's actually a solution to this. And my solution is for you to follow beat writers. I know many of us follow at Fantasy Labs NBA. We follow at Basketball Monster. They break news, you know, as it happens. But you should also follow beat writers who cover these teams intimately. I'll give you two Twitter lists with beat writers already compiled for you. All you need to do is go to the URLs I'm about to give you and subscribe. So the first one is bit.do/beatwriters1. That's bit.do/beatwriters1. And that's a number one. The other one is bit.do/beatwriters2. Same deal, number two at the end. Hopefully you got that. If you didn't, you can tweet me and I'll just send you the link. What these are Twitter lists with the first one has, I believe, almost 100 beat writers subscriptions. The other one has well over 200. One is from a private or individual person. The second is from Roto Grinders. So what's the benefit of doing this? The benefit is that beat writers are sitting right there on the court a lot of the time, or beat writers are sitting in the press box and they are watching this, these shoot arounds. They're watching the minutiae, you know, with a magnifying glass, so to speak. So yes, Fantasy Labs at Basketball Monster, they get a lot out there early and on time. However, there are certain things that are more nuanced, such as Jimmy Butler's limping at shoot-arounds, that you might be able to get from subscribing to beat writers. You're not going to be able to catch everything, unless you have one of those nights where you can just sit in front of your computer or on your phone and focus like a hawk. I can't do that myself. You know, it's highly likely that I'm going to get burned at some point here in the future by something similar to this. You can only hope for the best, but if you want to, you can mitigate this by subscribing to those Twitter lists. Okay. So let's just get that out of our minds, move on with our lives, and get on to the Saturday slate. All right, so the Saturday slate, this week's Saturday slate is a pretty good one. I'm pretty excited about this one. We got 10 games starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Just want to run through some of these Vegas lines. first game that is on my docket here is the 226 over under matchup between the Kings and Warriors. That game is in Sacramento. It's a 12-point spread. You know who's favored, Golden State, of course. And that one is mighty juicy. Warriors and Kings implied totals are 119-107 Warriors. The next one is the Suns and Bucks. It's played in Phoenix, 217.5 over under, and it's a close spread. Phoenix is getting 1 point, so they're a home dog. I'm looking at that wrong. Phoenix is giving a point. They're favored by one, but you know, at home, only giving a point. That's going to be a close game. So looks as of right now, it's about 109, 108 Phoenix. So that's a pretty juicy one right there. My favorite game of the slate, and it's not because I'm a Wizards fan, it's the Pelicans and Wizards played in Washington. It's a 217 over under. Wizards are favored by 7.5. I love this game. There's a lot of juiciness in this one. A lot of elite players, a lot of mid-range players, maybe a handful of bargain players you could target in this one. So this one is definitely on my radar. The next one we're looking at is a 210 over-under, and this is Detroit at Indiana. Indiana is favored by 4, and this one is interesting as well. There's a couple players that I'll go over from these teams in the positional breakdown. So this one seems like it could be interesting as well. Our next game is the... I was scrolling through it. 76ers at Miami Heat, 207.5 over under. The Heat are favored by 8. Looks like Joel Embiid is going to be missing this one, so keep that in mind. Miami is projected to score 107 points. Philadelphia is our first team that I'm listing here that is projected to be under 100. So I don't know about this game. I'm not too keen on it. There's a few interesting pieces here, but I might mostly avoid it. Our next game is the Orlando Magic at Atlanta Hawks. An interesting one for sure. This one sees the Hawks favored by 7.5 with a 207 over under. Our next affair is one that might be a bit of a sleeper game. I don't know how many people are going to be on this one, but you've got the Minnesota Timberwolves at home taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, 203 over under, and a 1.5 point spread. Memphis favored by 1.5. Utah Jazz are at home taking on the Charlotte Hornets. It's a 196.5 over under, and it's a 7.5 point spread. Utah's favored by 7.5. I really like the Utah side of the ball. There's a couple players on Charlotte who I'll go over who should get some nice minute bumps because of injuries to the center position. And just wrapping it up, we've got two more games. We've got Cleveland at New York, and we've got Denver at San Antonio. Neither game, as of right now, right before 8 a.m. Eastern time, has an over-under or a spread. That's due to questions about particular players. Cleveland, it's unsure as to whether or not Kevin Love is going to suit up. On the San Antonio side of the ball, it's unsure whether or not LaMarcus Aldridge is going to shoot up. Ooh, I hope he doesn't shoot up. That wouldn't be good. I don't want LaMarcus Aldridge doing that, please. We don't know if he's going to suit up yet. I would like him to not play because there is some juicy value in the San Antonio front court. I would also love it if Tony Parker would take a rest tonight. We'll get to that as well. So there's your games. Hopefully that can materialize here pretty soon and we can begin to understand what the situation is with some of these injuries. And speaking of injuries, let's just run through some of these injuries. We've got Joel Embiid sitting out today. He's listed as... unlikely to play from Monday too against Detroit. So they probably are just looking to limit those minutes. He does have a bone bruise in his left knee. So, you know, he's a bit banged up. No sense in exerting him too much. He's part of the future. He's part of the process. Then we've got LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge, we're not really sure his status at this hour right now. He's dealing with a sore right knee. He didn't play on Thursday. We're not sure about his status for tonight. Excuse me. Draymond Green. Draymond sat out the other night. He is probable against the Kings. So expect him to play. Expect him to suit up. Kevin Love also listed as probable. He expects to play. He has some lower back spasms that are, quote, under control. So odds are he'll suit up in this one. Not really sure if there will be a minutes restriction. Love typically plays a full bevy of minutes, so expect that. Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker is questionable for tonight's game. He missed practice yesterday with an illness, so monitor him. I wouldn't touch any of those point guards lower on the depth chart in Charlotte. Talking about Brian Roberts, Ray McCallum. They're playing Utah. There's no sense in even chasing that. There's better value in other places. As far as any other injuries go, Danilo Gallinari is already out with a groin. Derrick Rose, also, he's questionable with an ankle. Robert Covington, he's a game time decision. Not really sure what his status is as of now. That could lead to Ersan Ilyasova getting more expanded usage. Pau Gasol, he's out again. Zach LaVine, game-time decision with a knee. Nerlens Noel, game-time decision. Could be a boon, again, for Ilyasova. Also for Dario Saric and Jahlil Okafor. And Thaddeus Young hurt his wrist yesterday. As I mentioned, alluded to earlier, Cody Zeller Cody Zeller and Spencer Hawes are most likely going to be out tonight. And Josh Richardson continues to be out with an ankle, so that helps Dion Waiters' cause quite a bit. Derek Favors should suit up tonight. Sean Livingston is probably going to be out, so that just buys Steph Curry another couple minutes, perhaps. And that's pretty much it. That's all we really need to go over now. You can continue to monitor. And it's worth mentioning, too, don't forget, Garrett Temple, he's out for quite some time now, so there's some nice value there at the two point guard spots with Ty Lawson and Darren Collison. I wouldn't really touch Aaron Aflalo or Malachi Richardson, who was slated to get expanded role last night and did nothing with it. So continue to roll out those two point guards as well as Matt Barnes, who could be in another solid spot to get mid-20s in FanDuel points. Okay, there's your injuries. Let's move over to our DVP situations here. I'm just going to briefly run through DVP situations for tonight's matchups for each position. I'm just going to list some outstanding matchups per the last 5 and 10 games for each position. So looking at the point guard spot, over the last 10 games, Denver, Detroit, and Memphis lead the pack. And when I say lead the pack, not only the teams on this slate, but all 30 NBA teams. Denver, Detroit, and Memphis. So considering those three teams, you might want to pick on them at the point guard spot. San Antonio takes on Denver. Minnesota takes on Memphis. And Detroit is facing off with Indiana. So keep that in mind. In the last 5 games, in fact, Denver has given up the most points to opposing point guards. Detroit, 4th most in the NBA, Memphis 5th most in the NBA. So keep that in mind. Those three teams are exploitable with your point guards. In the last 10 games for shooting guards, New Orleans is leading the NBA with most points allowed to the shooting guard position. Atlanta and Denver are second and third for the slate, third and fourth overall. In the last 5 games, we're looking at Atlanta, San Antonio, and Charlotte as 1-2-3 for the slate. They're 2-3-4 for the league at large. Moving on to small forward. Small forward over the last 10 games, Cleveland and New Orleans are leading the slate. Cleveland's third in the NBA. New Orleans is fifth in the NBA. Phoenix is third for the slate. They're seventh in the NBA with most points allowed over the last 10 games to small forwards. Last 5, we're looking at Milwaukee, Charlotte, and Sacramento as 1-2-3, and they are 3-4-5 for the NBA at large. That's Milwaukee, Charlotte, and Sacramento. Moving on to power forward. Power forward over the last 10 games, Phoenix, New York, and Minnesota are 1-2-3 for the slate. Phoenix is second, New York is fourth, and Minnesota is seventh in the NBA. And over the last 5 games for the power forward position, Phoenix remains on top, Charlotte is second, and New York is third. Phoenix is second most points in the NBA in the last 5 games to the power forward position. Charlotte is fourth, and New York is fifth. Moving on to center, last but not least. Center, we're looking at Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Phoenix. Milwaukee is third in the NBA for most points allowed to the center position over the last 10 games. Philadelphia is fourth, and Phoenix is sixth. And over the last 5 games, we are looking at Phoenix, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. Phoenix is second in the NBA. Philadelphia is third, and New Orleans is seventh. So there are a lot of interesting DVP situations to exploit. Hopefully you got all that. If you'd like to, you can always rewind it and listen again. All right. So let's move on to the slate. We're going to break down each position with a stud, a grout play, and a value play. Studs, of course, are over 9K. Grout plays are between 5.5 and 9, and value plays are below 5.5. So just before we get into our stud point guard, just running through some of our point guard situations over the last week, Steph Curry has been absolutely on fire. He has averaged 57.9 FanDuel points over the last 3 games. He's almost 10 points ahead of John Wall, who's second, Drew Holiday coming in third. So Steph, John Wall, and Drew Holiday lead the pack over the last week for the point guard position. But I'm going to go with John Wall over Steph as my stud point guard for today. John Wall is 10,600. He's facing New Orleans. We like to use John Wall at home. John Wall at home is a beast. He's just a consistent, reliable option to get you 50-plus points. When he's at home, there's something that clicks with him. I don't know what it is. Some players have those home road splits. He's one of them. In the last week, he's averaged 48 FanDuel points, and over the last month, he's averaged 44 FanDuel points. So he's trending upward. He's taking more shots. He's just coming into his own. I really love John Wall tonight. I think he's worth paying up for, especially since he's taken on New Orleans, a team that struggles immensely against the point guard position. Moving on to shooting guard. Okay, so Giannis at 10.5 at Phoenix. Okay, so Giannis is the only player on the slate over 9K. In fact, he's the only player over 8K at shooting guard or 7.5K. He is way ahead of everybody else as far as salary goes at the shooting guard position. I'm going to pass over talking about him. There are five viable shooting guards between 65 and 7,500, and they just merit more attention. So determining who to use among them is just a worthwhile discussion. It's a more worthwhile discussion over Giannis. You know, you determine if you want to pay up at shooting guard and use him. Talking about him is a waste of time. We know what he's capable of, so let's focus on the grout guys at this position. We'll get to them in a few minutes. Moving on to small forward, Kevin Durant, 10.7. Kevin Durant is $10,700 in FanDuel bucks. Ha. Huh. Kevin Durant at Sacramento, he's the definition of a consistent player. I just read a nice Russell Westbrook piece in the New York Times Magazine, I believe it was, and it referred to Russell Westbrook in KD's Oklahoma City time as the hype man to Kevin Durant's R&B singer. I love that. That's just a great description of him. KD is just that, you know, between 45 and 60 points every single night. He's just the definition of consistent. He's a reliable player, and he's in a great matchup with Sacramento. Over the last week, he's averaged 46 FanDuel points, 47 over the last month. So that's his baseline. I think he's going to max out and approach 60 points. I think that's really like his ceiling. So I expect him in the upper 50s. So a nice night to use KD. moving on to power forward, looking at Anthony Davis, he's 11-2 at Washington. He's been the best power forward over the past week. He's always a threat for 70. He's just in a great matchup. He's taken on the Wizards, who struggle against the power forward position. Over the last month, he's averaged 47 FanDuel points, but over the last week, he's averaged 57. So I think he's in one of his upswings where he's really producing great. And as long as he's healthy, you know, you just trot him out there. You know, I think he's going to continue to remain at this low 11,000 salary range for the time being. But if things continue the way they are as of late and he stays healthy, you know, that could go back over 12K. So use him while his salary is low. And as far as center goes, who do you expect but Boogie Cousins? 11-1 against Golden State. He's facing Golden State at home in Sacramento. He's been the best player in the game as of late. He's averaging 57 FanDuel points. 53 FanDuel points over the last week. 51 over the last month, which he's the only player over the 50 mark over the last month. And he's just in a great matchup. That pace-up game with Golden State is his cup of tea. You know, I expect him to flirt with 20-20. I mean, definitely 20 points, but, you know, I don't see any reason why he can't grab 15-plus boards. I like him a lot tonight. So feel good using Boogie Cousins. Jumping back up to point guard, I've got four plays for you in the grout tier, and they are Jeff Teague, Dennis Schroeder, Mike Conley, and Brandon Jennings. Starting with Teague, Jeff Teague is taking on Detroit. He's at home in Indiana, and he's 7'6". Teague's just a consistent player, really reliable, great matchup. Over the last month, he's averaged 34 FanDuel points, and he's just slightly ticking upward. Over the last week, he's averaged 36, a couple of fares over 40. I like him a lot against Detroit, who struggles against the point guard position. Dennis Schroeder, he's got a really nice matchup against Orlando and a really nice price at 6-1. He's a volatile player. Just the other night, he scored 8 points in what we thought was going to be a nice outing, and he completely let us down. He's trending downward over the last week from his previous month's performance. 26 points over the last month, 22 points over the last week. I think that average is skewed a bit with that 8-point outing. I like Schroeder a lot to eclipse 30 FanDuel points and give you some nice 5-6x value. Mike Conley, he's a consistent player, reliable player. He's got a great matchup at Minnesota on the road. Mike Conley seems to flourish. So I like this one. Ricky Rubio is a good defender, but Mike Conley is a great player. 35 points over the last month, 38 over the last week. I like him to sit around that average. I don't think he's going to get well over 40. I definitely don't think he's going to put up a 60 burger like he did in Phoenix recently. But if you're looking for a solid cash game, reliable option under 8K at point guard, you can't go wrong with Mike Conley. And Brandon Jennings, over the last month, he was, you know, obviously the backup point guard, averaged 20 points over the last month. But over the last week, he's popped, and he has been averaging 35 FanDuel points over the last week with Derrick Rose out. Looks like Derrick Rose is going to miss the game again. You definitely want to monitor this situation. You really got to like the matchup for Brandon Jennings taking on Cleveland at home at 6.5. So keep an eye on that injury situation with Rose. And if he is in fact out, you've got to feel really good about using Brandon Jennings. Moving on to shooting guard, I neglected to go over the situation with shooting guard in the previous stud segment. So just looking at the shooting guard situation, over the last week, you really haven't seen a lot of great options among the players that are available tonight. You know, you've got Devin Booker leading the pack. And Bradley Beal leading the pack with 35 points. Moving on to shooting guard, just want to run through some shooting guard options. Moving on to shooting guard, just want to run through the shooting guard situation. I neglected to do that in the previous segment. So shooting guard, over the last week, you have seven players within 5 points of each other. Booker, Beal, Waiters, Thompson, Antetokounmpo, Hardaway, Batum, all between 35 and 30 FanDuel points over the last week. So I think you can attribute Tim Hardaway to some circumstantial, volatility with overtime games and injuries to Cephalosha. I'm not into him tonight too much. He might be an option. I'm not going to focus on him, but, you know, feel free. Giannis, I'm avoiding. I already mentioned him. You know, he's just not in a good state right now as far as fantasy production. But the other four guys, well, five guys if you want to count Batum, but the other four guys, Clay, Deion, Bradley, and Devin, you know, they've been really good lately, and I like them at their salary, at their price point. But tonight, I'm going to focus on two of them, and that's Bradley Beal and Clay Thompson. Bradley Beal, he's just been utterly, you know, consistent. He's just been so reliable every night, 30 to 35 points. 31 points over the last month, 35 points over the last week. He's got a great matchup with New Orleans, who really struggles against the shooting guard position. And at 7K, I like that that a lot. I like him for cash games. I think I'm locking him in without a doubt. Klay Thompson at Sacramento, another consistent, reliable player. He does have more upside than Beal, but he does have more downside. So I would use Beal for cash, Klay for GPPs. Klay and Bradley have the same averages over the last month and last week, 30 and 35. But, you know, like I said, Klay, he's going to give you those 50 pointers. He's going to give you those 20 pointers, whereas Bradley's going to stay more in that 30 point range. So keep that in mind. Moving on to small forward, the small forward situation, for this slate, you know, you've obviously got KD and LeBron leading the pack. Unbelievably, you've got Robert Covington right in between the two of them. LeBron has averaged 52 over the last week, KD 46, and Bob Cov averaging 47. very impressive. His status is up in the air, so just monitor that. But then you've got Kawhi, Paul George after that. And then you got Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, he's an interesting player tonight. I really like him a lot, and he's one of the players I want to target. Carmelo seems to be falling off a bit. And then you got Andrew Wiggins and Wilson Chandler, you know, in the low 30s, so they're options as well. But like I said, I'm going to focus on Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, he's taken on Charlotte. He'll cost you 7-6. He's playing in Utah. Over the last month, he's averaged 32 points, but over the last week, he's come on pretty strong, averaging 37. He's somewhat volatile given his salary, and the reason I say that is he gives you too many of those 20-ish, 25-point games for my liking. At that salary, I don't like that, you know, the high likelihood that he's going to go under 30 but over 25. Hopefully that makes sense. You know, if I'm paying 7-6, I want a guy that I know is going to get me at minimum 30, 35 points. And Hayward has just too many of those 20-something point outings. But he does have the upside to go well over 40. And I think one of those nights is tonight. Against Charlotte, they're not that great against wings. So, you know, he's always a focal point in that offense. You know, he facilitates a lot from the small forward position. So, Gordon Hayward for sure. And then 800 or 1200 bucks cheaper is Otto Porter at 6-4 against New Orleans, playing in Washington. Over the last month, he's averaged 28 points. He's dropped off a bit to 25, but he gets consistent minutes. He's got a good matchup, and he always gives you those nice peripheral stats. And so tonight should be a high scoring game. It's one of the juiciest on the slate. So I like Otto to go well over 30 points. Moving on to power forward. Looking at power forward, you know, recently, like I said earlier in the pod, Anthony Davis has been killing it. 57 points over the last month. Nikola Jokic came back last night, had a great outing, over 50 points, 52.1 to be exact. So, you know, keep him in mind as well if you need to pay down a little bit under Davis. Paul Millsap obviously had an amazing 70-point outing, but it was in, I don't know, how many overtimes was that? Like four or five or whatever it was. He's averaged 40 FanDuel points over the last week, but that's pretty skewed by that outing. He's been pretty underwhelming the last couple games. Some people attribute it to him being tired. I don't know if that's actually, like, you know, a valid explanation for why he went under 32 straight games. I'm staying away from Millsap. Manimal, Kenneth Faried, I don't care. Jokic is back. I still like him a lot. He's still under 7K. His salary should drop over the next week or so with Jokic back, but I still like him a lot. I think he's carved out a role, or at least gotten confidence in the coaching staff to remain in that 30-plus minute range. James Johnson from Miami continues to surprise people with his production. Markieff Morris is extremely consistent. Serge Ibaka is coming on strong as of late, you know, becoming a focal point of the Orlando Magic offensive attack. Ersan Ilyasova for Philadelphia is a stalwart on that team. So a bunch of options at power forward. but in the Grout tier, I'm going to focus on three guys. I'm going to focus on Jabari Parker, Markieff Morris, and Tobias Harris. So Jabari at 7-4 at Phoenix. He's in a pace-up matchup with the Suns. He's been really solid as of late. Last night, he eclipsed 40, but I said last night, he's in a B2B. He's in a back-to-back. So you might want to, you know, keep that in mind if you decide to select him playing in a back-to-back, but he's a young guy. He's all right, okay? So averaging 35 points over the last month, 29 over the last week. He's had some stinkers lately, but I hope that last night got him over that hump and he'll get over those that 35-point mark over the last month tonight, get back to his normal self, and Phoenix is just a team to do that against. Markieff Morris, he is very consistent. He's very reliable, and he's got a great matchup. I love his price at 7-2. Taking on New Orleans, he's averaged 34 points over the last month, 35 over the last week. I think you can just lock him in, pen him in, not pencil him in, pen him in for 35 points tonight. Great cash game option. And Tobias Harris. Tobias is a volatile player, but he gets solid minutes. He's got a good matchup. 26 points over the last month, 24 over the last week. Taking on Indiana. Indiana is coming off a back-to-back, so you know you can chalk in. Is that even a term? I don't know what I'm talking about. You can credit him. There we go. With a few extra points, you know, assuming that Indiana is a little gassed after last night. I just like the matchup. Indiana is not that great against power forwards. Tobias, you know, he's a competent scorer. Sometimes he'll give you those 20 plus real point outings and get you well over 30. You know, I'm not huge on him, but I like him given the DVP situation. And moving on to center. So center, as always, is chock full of options. At center, just looking at the last week, we got a few players who really stand out. You know, you got DeMarcus Cousins, Karl Anthony Towns, Andre Drummond. Not huge on Towns or Drummond tonight. I really like Cousins a lot. If you want to pay down a bit, though, there's a whole bunch of players in the 30 to 40 range of FanDuel points over the last week. You got Rudy Gobert, Dwight Howard, Nikola Vucevic, Marc Gasol, Marcin Gortat, Tristan Thompson stands out. Hassan Whiteside continues to underimpress, and Miles Turner brings up the rear. So looking at who I like tonight, there's a bunch of them. I like Hassan Whiteside, Rudy Gobert, Marcin Gortat, Greg Monroe, Tyson Chandler. Just starting with Hassan, he's got a great matchup, but he's overpriced at 8.8K. The last month he's averaged 32 points and 31 over the last week. That's just not going to cut it. I don't know why FanDuel continues to keep him that expensive. Almost 9K, that's ridiculous. He should be, you know, in the high sevens, not high eights. He's taken on Philly, though, and Philly is awful against the center. So if you are playing in a GPP and you are looking for a high upside center with low ownership, he could be your guy. Rudy Gobert, the DVP matchup is not outstanding, but you have to keep in mind that Charlotte is going to be without Cody Zeller and potentially without drawing a blank on their backup center's name. Oh, my goodness. Whatever. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Charlotte is going to be without their centers. So it's most likely going to be like Miles Plumlee and a combination of Frank Kaminsky and Marvin Williams. So Rudy Gobert should pretty much put them in a sub role, put some tomatoes and lettuce and onions on there, maybe a little mustard and mayo, and eat them up like a sub. Yeah, that was an interesting analogy there. Bottom line is I love Gobert. 37 points over the last month, 39 points over the last week, sub 8K salary, good matchup against far inferior big men in the Charlotte front court. So Rudy Gobert, I love him tonight. Marcin Gortat has been in another dimension as of late. I mean, he's been really consistent lately, really reliable. He's been hot. 36 points over the last week, 27 points over the last month, but he's trending upward very much. Wiz starters, they just get a lot of minutes. They get a lot of production. So if John Wall's in a good matchup, it means good things for Marcin. So Wall should get, you know, 10 to 15 dimes tonight, and a bunch of those should go to Gortat, give him some nice scoring opportunities. I like him to continue to meet that 36-point pace over the last week. You know, I'll lock him in for mid-30s and some solid 5X value, 6X value at 6'7 against New Orleans, you know, in Washington. You got to like it. And then two guys squaring off against each other. That's Greg Monroe and Tyson Chandler. Monroe's at 5'7". Chandler is at 5'5". The game's played in Phoenix. Monroe, you know, pace-up game against the Suns. Home teams tend to dictate the pace, so Monroe should benefit from that, perhaps. You don't want to forget John Henson. Henson had a nice game last night, but again, Monroe, he's been the guy primarily. 23 points over the last month, 25 over the last week. I expect him to, you know, at minimum be at, you know, low 20s, but he has upside for, you know, 30, 35 points. Excuse me. And Tyson Chandler, just a consistent option, consistent low price center option, facing a poor rebounding opponent in Milwaukee. That's right in Chandler's wheelhouse. He's really dropped off a lot over the last week, but I expect him to rebound nicely in this game. Okay, let's rewind back to our point guards and look at some of our value plays. There's not a lot of value at point guard tonight, to be honest with you. Like, not a lot of safe value. You could go with Darren Collison. You definitely want to keep him in mind. I'm not huge on Collison against Golden State, but, you know, he's there. He gets solid minutes. Ty Lawson as well. I don't know. It's hard for me to decide between those two. I don't think either is going to, you know, perform very well. But as far as guys I do like tonight, well, I guess it's another pick your poison situation. Like Collison and Lawson, pick your poison here. We've got the Spurs point guards and we've got the Bucks point guards. We've got Tony Parker at 4'4", Patty Mills at 3'8", and they're taking on Denver. And Denver, they suck. We know that. Denver is, as they say on Fantasy Labs, the Coors Field of DFS basketball. So take that as you will. Tony Parker, Patty Mills, who's it going to be? I said earlier in the pod that I hope Tony Parker rests tonight, and that would open up a lot for Patty Mills. Both players average over the last month and week in the high teens. My gut tells me to go with Patty Mills. I think he could get, you know, 20 to 25 points tonight, and at 3'8", that's really good value. And then there's Malcolm Brogdon and Matthew Dellavedova at Phoenix. Brogdon's at 4'9", Delly's at 4'1". A lot of people had high hopes for Brogdon last night against Denver, and he didn't really do what we expected him to. Well, you go back to the well again. Who do you pick, Brogdon or Delly? Delly's been better over the last week, Brogdon better over the last month. Again, pick your poison. You know, I'm going to emphasize this. Point guard is a position that you want to pay up for. And not pay up like go for the elite guys, but, you know, don't try to get cute and pick point guards under 6K tonight. That's what I'm trying to say. There's, you know, it's much better to pay up a bit. Shooting guard. Shooting guard, I'm looking at Evan Fournier and Courtney Lee. Fournier's 5K at Atlanta. He's got a great matchup, but he just came back from injury, so you want to tread lightly. He's averaging over the last month and week in the low 20s. But if you recall earlier in the season, when Fournier was in his groove, he was getting us really consistent performances. I would equate him to what Bradley Beal's doing right now. Fournier was like a very Beal-esque player back in November and December, you know, giving you a solid 30 to 35 points every night. So he's going to get back in the groove soon. It's a matter of when, not if. And at Atlanta, you know, that's a great matchup. Courtney Lee, on the other hand, has been really consistent lately as opposed to earlier in the season. He's becoming more of a focal point of the Knicks offense. So I like him a lot against Cleveland. He's in a really good matchup. He's been reliable lately. You can lean on him at that 4-6 salary. You know, you don't have to feel bad at all about using him. So that kind of circles back to my point with point guard. Is you don't want to pay down for point guard. You want to pay down for shooting guard. I just think that Courtney Lee in this matchup, he has far more upside than, say, any of the four point guards I listed, or Collison or Lawson. I think he could, you know, flirt with 30 points tonight. So Courtney Lee. Moving on to small forward. Small forward, I'm looking at a couple guys. Well, more than a couple. I'm looking at three guys. I'm looking at Kent Bazemore, Aaron Gordon, and Andre Iguodala. Bazemore, 4'9" against Orlando. Orlando. And Aaron Gordon, 4'8" against Atlanta, facing off against each other. Who do you pick? I don't know. It's a tough call. I think someone is going to step up. Bazemore is somewhat of a volatile player, but Orlando doesn't do well against opposing small forwards. So it's a good matchup for him. And if Cephalosha is out, that could just continue to be a boon for him. Don't forget Tim Hardaway Jr. too. He had a great outing last time out. So, you know, another if Cephalosha is out situation, keep Hardaway in mind. Aaron Gordon, he was amazing when Evan Fournier was out. But Fournier's back, and they're adjusting to playing with each other. Because if you recall, earlier in the season, when Fournier was doing really well, you had Jeff Green in there at the small forward position, and Fournier was out for quite some time, and Green is now on the outside looking in, and it's Aaron Gordon. So they're getting used to each other, and I don't know when it's going to be, when they click, but it's not right now. But Aaron Gordon has a really nice matchup against Atlanta. He's got a nice price. He's got solid minutes. That's the thing. He's not producing, but he's getting 30-plus minutes. So, Aaron Gordon. The guy I like the most out of those three is Andre Iguodala. He is a really nice cash option. He's just so consistent. You just know exactly what you're going to get with him. And it's pretty much 25 FanDuel points for low four salary every night. I'm hoping that Sacramento just does not show up and Golden State blows them out very early and he gets extra run. Last night he got over 30 minutes, or two nights ago he got over 30 minutes with Draymond out. Draymond's probably going to play again, but you know that doesn't really affect his minutes much. He's their, you know, sixth man. He's going to get the 28 minutes. So hopefully, yeah, like I said, it's a blowout. And Iggy gets some extra run. I feel really good about using him in cash tonight against Sacramento. Good DVP matchup. Moving on to power forward. Power forward, Derek Favors, John Luehr, and the duo of Marvin Williams and Frank Kaminsky. Derek Favors is a tricky play here. You need to monitor that. He's sat a couple games, but he's in a really good matchup, and he's cheap. Charlotte, even with a fully healthy front court, they struggle against bigs. So Derek Favors at 4'7" at home against Charlotte. He's got a really nice opportunity here. I don't know what to expect from him. I'm probably going to avoid him, but I want to bring him to your attention. moving on to John Luehr. He's, you know, another nice cash option. He's just a really reliable, consistent player. You know, he averages, you know, in the mid-20s for the most part. Over the last week, he's really dropped a bit. He's averaging 18 points over the last week. But I think he's going to, you know, regress to the mean and get back to those regular mid-20s FanDuel points. He's kind of like the Iguodala of power forwards. You know, you never want to throw him out there in a GPP because he's never going to go nuts and get you 40, but he's always going to be nice for cash and get you 25. And now Marvin Williams and Frank Kaminsky. The Charlotte front court is so thin. They're missing multiple options there, and I think both of these guys are going to get well over 30 minutes. Kaminsky has been better over the last week, Williams over the last month. Pick your poison. You know, Williams costs 500 more than Kaminsky. Williams is at 5K, Kaminsky is at 4.5K. Now, they are taking on Utah. They are on the road. So, keep that in mind. Utah is arguably the best defensive team in the NBA, but with the minutes and the salaries, you can't go wrong with at least considering them. And center. Center, we've got three guys. We got Tristan Thompson, Dwayne Dedman, and JaVale McGee. So Tristan Thompson, he's just a really consistent player, really safe for cash. He's got some nice upside. You know, occasionally he'll get you at his 5.4K price point, you know, 35, 40 points occasionally. At New York, I think he's got a nice chance to get well into the 30s. Over the last week, he's averaged 33 FanDuel points, whereas over the last month, he's in the 24 range. Thompson, you know, he is someone you want to keep in mind. I think there's more, there's safer options in the next tier up. But if you're in a pinch and you need to pick someone, you know, at that price range of 5.4, you know, he's useful tonight. I like Dwayne Dedman more, though. Powell continues to be out. The Spurs draw the Nuggets, and we know about the Nuggets. Dedman's at 3.9. He's, you know, really come on strong with Powell out. 20-point average over the last week, 18 over the last month. He's always going to have a role in that team as, you know, a relatively high-minute backup big. So I feel really good about using him tonight in cash. I think that he has the opportunity to get well into the 20s, flirt with 30, if he can grab a bunch of boards and get, you know, 25 minutes or so. And then JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee had a nice outing the other night for Golden State. The Warriors just waived Anderson Varejao, so that eliminates some competition. Zaza Pachulia continues to be banged up. McGee's averaged 19 points over the last week, 13 over the last month. You know, he's carving out a little bit of a niche with the Warriors, taking on the Kings. If, like I said with Iguodala, the Kings don't show up and Golden State blows them out, you know, maybe McGee gets some more run and they rest some of their front court players. So keep him in mind. You know, he has the opportunity always to get you a dozen boards and, you know, 7 or 8 points. And at that price range, in the 200 over Min Sal, 3.7, you know, you can take that. But I like Dedman more. Okay. So let's go ahead and build our lineup. I'm going to simply take the options that we selected, and I'm going to build a lineup with them. Pretty simple. All right, so first player I'm going to lock in tonight is John Wall. I really like John Wall a lot. I think he's got an opportunity to really pop tonight. You know, over the last like 10 games or so, he's had multiple 50-point outings. So I feel good about him getting well over 50. And then at shooting guard, I'm going to follow that up with Bradley Beal. I just love Wall and Beal pretty much every night. I just don't see any reason why the two of them are not going to feast tonight on the Pelicans. So I like Beal a lot this evening. I feel good about him. Next, I'm going to go over to center. And at center, I'm going to... who do I want to go with? This is a tough call. You know what? I'm going to continue with the Wizards, and I'm going to go with Marcin Gortat. I feel like I'm going to get a solid 30-plus points from Gortat and Beal, and then a solid 50-plus from Wall. I just feel good about them. And like I said earlier in the pod, the Wizards starters, you know, their rotation is they have a short rotation. Their bench players don't get heavy minutes. Beal, Wall, and Gortat get nice, solid minutes every night. So I don't feel bad about using them on any night, you know, because of that safe minute situation. So I'm going to put all three of those Wizards starters in there. Pretty crazy. All right. I'm going to move over to power forward. Power forward. what do we want to do here? I'm going to skip power forward for now. I'm going to go over to small forward. And I'm going to put in my man, Andre Iguodala. I like him a lot for cash. You know, if you look at his game logs, he's just so consistent. He's outperformed his salary 8 out of the last 10 games. I mean, just running through his last 10 games, 26, 16, 27, 25, 22, 20, 20, 21, 26. I think that was 10. 11, 21, 25, 5 against Memphis back on January 6th. 25, 15. So it's pretty much like 25. So I'll take 25 points from Iguodala. And then let's go up to small forward again, and let's go ahead and let's go ahead and throw. I like all five wizards tonight. I really do. So I might have to get off of one of these guys. I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna get off of Wall. And I'm going to put in Otto Porter. Okay. So right now we've got Beal, Iguodala, Porter, and Gortat. Let's go back to point guard. And I'm going to go ahead and put... this is a tough one right now. This is a tough one, guys. I'm going to put Jeff Teague in there. I know that they're coming off a back-to-back, but, you know, I think the back-to-back thing is a little overrated sometimes. So we'll put Jeff Teague in there. Shooting guard. Who do we want to put here at shooting guard? And one guy I didn't mention I kind of like tonight is KCP. I like KCP against Indiana. I'm going to put Courtney Lee in. I feel good about him. You know, and just to illustrate why, you know, over his last 10 games, he's exceeded his salary 7 times. His last 2 games haven't been great, but at, you know, and you can exclude that Atlanta game because he played 52 minutes. But the stretch of January 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, he went 24, 22, 32, 32. So let's call it in the middle and say he does 27 points. And at 4,600, I like that a lot. All right, so I need one more point guard and 2 power forwards, and I got 7,700 remaining per position. I'm going to go ahead and pick a power forward. And the power forward I will go with tonight is Anthony Davis at 11,200. I like him a lot. For his ceiling, and his projection, you know, he's got a solid like range of 50 to 60 points. You know, I feel good about him getting 60 tonight. I just think that he is a really solid option at that position tonight. And then power forward again. Why don't we drop down a bit? I'm tempted to use one of the bargain power forwards I mentioned earlier. I really, really want to use Derek Favors. I really do. I'm going to put him in. He's been solid when he's been playing lately. I'm going to put him in. His price is just outstanding. And then what do I got? So I have 7,400 for my last point guard. So let's put in, I wonder if I can save some salary somehow. Who can I save salary with? If I could drop down from Gortat, no. How about I drop down from Otto Porter? To Wilson Chandler against the Spurs. That's tricky. I don't know if I want to drop down from Wilson Chandler to the Spurs. How about we drop down from Teague, Mr. Teague? No. Why don't we do Brandon Jennings against Cleveland. Okay, so we've got 900 left. I don't want to drag this thing out much longer. Let's see if we can do one more revision. Yeah, that looks pretty good. I could bump up my point guard from Teague to no. Okay, enough thinking out loud. Let's run through this and see what we got here. Okay, and as always, this lineup is tentative to late breaking news. Any revisions you feel like doing, it's up to you. But right now, we're looking at Jeff Teague and Brandon Jennings. We're looking at Bradley Beal and Courtney Lee, Otto Porter and Andre Iguodala, Anthony Davis, Derek Favors, and Marcin Gortat. Okay, so you know it's something. You work on that, you make your changes, whatever you prefer. You know, there's options out there that I didn't go over that you can uncover on your own. That's all I got, guys. I hope you enjoyed today's show. As always, you could follow me on Twitter at Josh Fern. That's at JOSHFERN. If you want to get on my show, it's launching on Friday. It is the DFS Chats podcast, where I chat with real daily fantasy sports players just like you and me. This Tuesday, I'm interviewing Sean as my final interview before launch. He's going to be the first episode. So you can follow me and you can follow Sean Kane at Hey Mr. Kane. That's at HEYMRKANE. And that's it. That's all I got. Good luck tonight. Great weekend. Let's go Falcons, and we'll see you when we see you.